Spotlight. This is Akashwani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Waqf Amendment Act 2025. The participants are K.V. Prasad, political analyst, and Sonu Sood, anchor.
In order to bring transparency and efficiency in administration and management of Waqf properties spread all across the nation, the government introduced the Waqf Amendment Bill in August 2024, enhancing the center's regulatory authority over Waqf properties. This bill seeks to reform the 1995 Waqf Act, and after a long and healthy debate lasting 12 to 14 hours each, in both houses of parliament, the bill was passed in the Lok Sabha on April 3, 2025, with 288 members supporting it and 232 against it, and in Rajya Sabha on April 4, 2025, with 128 members voting in favour and 95 opposing. Thereafter, the Supreme Court saw more than 70 petitions being filed challenging the Waqf Amendment Bill, hearing of which began yesterday and concluded today, with the Supreme Court giving the respondents 7 days to file a short reply and reply to that be filed within 5 days. To understand this situation, the importance of it, we have with us Mr. K.V. Prasad, political analyst. Mr. Prasad, a warm welcome to you at Akashwani.
Thank you, Sonuji.
Mr. Prasad, we'd like to know from you, you know, these 2 days hearing which has taken place in Supreme Court over the Waqf Amendment Bill. What are the key outcomes that have come in today's statement by the Supreme Court?
We know that the petitioners are challenging the constitutional validity of the Act itself, and the Supreme Court has to interpret what the constitution provisions are in light of the Act. And I think yesterday the court indicated that it would want to stay some key provisions in this Act. But today, of course, the centre had given this thing that they will not constitute the Waqf councils and the state council will not be formed. And the issue of Waqf by user, that land will not be denotified. These were the 2 things on which the Supreme Court had taken note of it. So I think that's the key takeaway. This will remain because the next year, date of hearing is May 5. And before that, you have a 12-day window for the centre to come up with a response. And those who are plead against it will get the time to respond to it.
So till May 5th, whatever the Waqf Act is, it'll stay as it is and no action will be taken.
These 2 provisions in particular, which was pointed out, Waqf by user, which was the properties which are already in use. But I think there are issues because the Act, which has now become, which was notified, allows the unregistered properties or Waqf, you know, to come into registration concept. So those who had registered properties had no issue, but it is unregistered. So that was where the Waqf by users, so they cannot be denotified. So I think that was the point which the center has said. And also the creation of Waqf councils, the Central Waqf Council and the State Waqf Councils, because I think yesterday the court did ask about inclusion of non-Muslims on the councils. I mean, they are asked this issue. So I think on this particular point, this will not be operational till the day the next hearing comes in.
As we all know that this bill was introduced in the parliament in August 2024, and then a JPC was formed which had more than 20 meetings and suggestions were invited. More than 90 lakh suggestions were received through email and other mediums. And after a lot of deliberation, this act was finalized and it was put up for passing in the current session, the session gone by of the parliament, which started in March. And in April, finally, after a lot of discussion, it was approved. So that is the way that a bill is introduced, an act is notified. So the constitutional validity, I mean, the entire procedure has been followed. And can you also tell us that what is the major objective of this amendment bill? How is it going to improve the management of the Waqf properties?
Before I come to that particular aspect, what you said, the process was followed, as lawmaking process is very much what you said. The government referred the bill to the Joint Parliamentary Committee, which went around the country, took suggestions from various people, took their suggestions on board, and they came up with certain amendments. But remember, even during the JPC, the members of the JPC, some of them who belonged to the opposition parties, had objection to certain things and they had protested, they had walked out, there were issues on that. And even on the floor of the house, there was opportunity. I mean, you just gave us the voting figures. So there was a clear divide, which was clear. In such a case, the issue is of the constitutional validity of the act, which is being challenged, and people reach the Supreme Court. While the act was being discussed in the JPC and outside it, also in Parliament, I think the government made it clear that they wanted to regularize a lot of things which were not being regularized, in particular registered properties. There should be, we all know today that we go out to buy something, piece of property, any form, anything. People look for a title. Who owns the title? Is there a clear title? So there is no dispute. But in Waqf case, certain properties have been dated. And when I say dated, they are centuries old. And they were Waqf by users. And the government has always been saying, even during the debates in the House, that a lot of these properties were mismanaged. The beneficiaries who should have benefited because of Waqf, because Waqf meant somebody donating a property to a cause in particular, they give it to their God, and then it becomes for the benefit of the people, the larger benefit of the community or the community good. So it could be used, the land, piece of land could be used for various public causes, whether you build a hospital, whether you build a school or whatever, or a crematorium, whatever their burial places, whatever that is. It could be a decision. There have been instances, and there are many properties which also went into litigation. The litigation right. continued for a pretty long time, and there were litigations at various levels. So I think the government had taken note of all this, and that's what has been said time and again, that we want to have a comprehensive law, making sure that all these irregularities that got into the system are addressed.
And in fact, as you said, that these properties are often meant for the upliftment of the poor Muslims, the Muslim women, Muslim children, and maybe Muslim divorced women. So if that is not being done, and if the commercial aspect is being looked at, and the exploitation is happening, the intended use is not really being kept in focus, then that is something which needs to be looked at?
Yeah, I think that's precisely the reason said, adduced by the government when they looked into this whole issue and the whole debate, even as I said, in the houses when the debate was there. The intention behind this donation was public good, was right. to ensure that the welfare of the people, especially the members of the community who are not in an advantageous position in terms of monetary, they don't have the same kind of facilities that they should be entitled to as human beings. So that was not being addressed in the to the extent it should have been done. And as you pointed out, some of them was probably made use of commercially. These unscrupulous habits or unscrupulous practices that crept into this is what the government wanted to address. But as I said, the larger issue is now whether that can that be done by an act of parliament. That is the constitution issue, which people have taken to the court.
And as you said, in a democracy, we see that there are differing opinions, and rarely are any decisions are taken unanimously. It is always the majority decision which are implemented. In that context, you know, these petitions which have come up where people have expressed criticism or they have objected to certain clauses. Now, the Chief Justice of India said today that only 5 writ petitioners will be allowed in court from next hearing. So is this a attempt to make it more streamlined, to focus on the real issues? No. What are the main issues?
No, I think the issues are very clear. The point is, Sonuj, you mentioned in the beginning that there were 70 petitions were moved before the court. So it becomes very, very huge and humongous for the court to hear every petition because it has to give term. So what they have said is club. They said 5, these petitioners, they told them, you 5, we'll only hear 5 petitions. The other petitioners could elect one or select one nodal person. So they would be the lead party. So of the 70, they all get divided or whatever, or they work among themselves. The court will be hearing it, but one person takes the lead. So in the batch of 70, 5 will be heard. It is for them to organize themselves because all 70 will have to be heard. They will have to come up with their decision. Then the government will have to respond. Then this back and forth has to go on. So I think it's to streamline, as you said, the procedure so that the main purpose is to sure, the court examines the legal validity and the constitutional validity of this act.
And it should be very clear that which land belongs to whom, and there should be no illegal usurping of land in Waqf. That is also...
You know, this is exactly the reasons adduced by the government that there have been unscrupulous practices that have crept into it, and they seek to address because, as I mentioned, many have gone through litigation. Years of litigation, we all know civil cases take a pretty long time because of the nature of the complaint and the kind of investigations that go into it. So these are long drawn procedures. That is one of the factors. And then after the government of the day, whichever the government are there has to deal with the situation. That is how
it And goes. In fact, now I think the government is much more enabled to deal. I mean, once it comes into force due to widespread digitization in the country, it'll be so much easier to have those records in a very, very orderly manner.
Yeah, but the point is that one of the issues which came up in the court is how do we deal with non-documented work property? What exactly will be the way out? Because some have been handed down centuries ago. And that is where the users are saying. So how do you match those things? So some of these genuine concerns which people have raised. So that's what the court looked at. And if that's why the denotification aspect, the center said it's not going to happen. And also on the issue of inclusion of non-minority members in the council. So that was raised the issue. So I think that were the ones which have the center had said it will not go forward with these two particular provisions.
So after 7 days, what is going to happen?
Because the center saw time, the Solicitor General said there are a lot of issues in this that they need to carefully examine and come before the court. So they wanted more time. And that's why they have been given 7 days time to come up with their response. And once the center gives its response, the petitioners will get 5 days from there to respond to what the center has said. So that's what the court hears both sides to the litigation. One is the defendant, one is the litigant. So they will hear both sides and then court will take it forward.
Absolutely. In fact, the Chief Justice of India, he said today that, to quote him, we had said there were some positive things in the law. We have stated that there cannot be complete stay. But we also don't want the situation to change, which is prevailing now. It's a sensitive issue which the Supreme Court is dealing with by looking very, very focusedly at both aspects, both sides.
Yes, the Supreme Court did say that, as you rightly pointed out, that there are certain aspects which are positive. So they did not spell out which ones. So that means they're not looking at the entire issue in totality. But yes, since the people have reached the court, questioning the constitutional validity, during the course of debate, many others raise other issues. So there are issues which they want the court to address. And as per the constitutional scheme of things we have, the Supreme Court interprets constitution.
A lot of Muslim leaders have actually come up. They have praised the Prime Minister for bringing in this law. They have said that this is going to lead to upliftment of the entire Muslim community. How important is this approach, which is not looking at the religion, which is looking at the humanity aspect of it?
Well, that is very true and very significant. In fact, some state governments also wanted to. But the point is, if there is an issue, and the people have reached the court and the court has taken cognizance of it, there will be people who support it, there will be people who oppose it. All that, that is exactly the precisely that got mirrored in our parliament debate. The parliament debate also was very clear division. One could see if you heard all the debates in both the houses on both the days in Raj Sabha and Lok Sabha, they were very exhaustive debates. Points were made, some very compelling points on both sides. Eventually, the members of parliament decided and voted in favor of the bill, which was sent it to by the president to become an act. And then the center notified it. But the constitutional validity is what came up for challenge in the Supreme Court. And the court has now taken cognizance of it.
And also, we'd like to, you know, for the benefit of our listeners, if you could tell us that what are the various ways in which this act, when it comes into force, how is it going to help the community? What are the major objectives which are going to be realized?
I think the act is already there, number one. Only these two provisions, which we just discussed in the beginning of it, they have not, the center has assured they will not go forward on those two issues. As you said in the beginning, also during discussion and also in parliament, it was said by many people on the government side, in particular the governing coalition members, that this is going to benefit the larger segment of the community. People who have been disempowered, they don't benefit out of this. The largest the community wanted for the people who don't have the wherewithal or the means to survive or the means to grow. So these arms were meant to benefit those segments. But probably, as I said, the intended beneficiaries were not getting the benefit that the benefactor wanted to deliver. So that is what the government wanted to address.
So thank you so much, Mr. Prasad, for this comprehensive discussion on the Waqf Amendment Act, which is going to be a game changer.
Thank you, Soruji.
You were listening to a discussion on Waqf Amendment Act 2025. The participants were K.V. Prasad, political analyst, and Sonu Sood, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Spotlight.